It's time to talk gadgets with our gadget detective, Fevzy. If you've got a call for him, do get in touch. The number 03-459-57-0057. Perhaps you're thinking about buying some kind of gadget gift this Christmas and you want a little bit of a heads up on what's good, what's not. You can also text 81333. Start your message with the word radio. Now, of course, following on from Black Friday, today is Cyber Monday. Honestly, when are they going to stop with this? What's tomorrow? Terrific Tuesday. We're just going to keep going. Some good deals, though, out there, particularly when it comes to technological stuff.
Yeah, so I thought it was worth mentioning this because a lot of attention is given to Black Friday, and Black Friday was traditionally in the high street, and so online shops sort of coined the phrase Cyber Monday. And there are some fantastic deals, and be aware, although a lot of them do finish today, some of them continue beyond it. So you know, Google and other search engines are our friends in this matter. But I'll go through a few of the ones that just caught my eye. We've talked recently and demonstrated here recently the new Echo and Echo Dot products, the products that you talk to and they talk back and they read you talking books and tell you the weather and the traffic and you just speak to them.
Are you still using yours? Yeah. I just wonder, you yeah. are. I just wonder with these sorts of things whether they're a bit of a kind of a novelty that kind of wears off.
It's great. I have one by my bed for talking books. So I buy these Audible talking books and it's a great way of you know, telling it to start and stop and not having to fiddle with it, and you can also set a timer by voice so you don't have to turn the light on and fiddle with it and all that sort of thing. So that's
it's like having someone read you a bedtime story, Fevzy.
Well, if I had friends, frankly, it wouldn't be necessary, but given the circumstances, you know.
Oh, brilliant.
You know, Alexa is my friend. So anyway,
what's her name, sorry?
Alexa.
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 Brilliant.
I know.
Are they all called Alexa, or can you choose a name?
You choose
like.
From three names. You can call her it Alexa, Amazon, or Echo. So none of those are great. I look forward to when I can sort of call it Hal or something. You know, but
it's not that far away, I'm sure.
No,
that time will come.
So not only from Amazon, because others are price matching, including one store that's never knowingly undersold, but the Echo, the full-size unit that normally goes for $150, is down to $120, and the Dot, which is normally £50, is down to £40, which is a bargain, particularly when you consider that the Dot, unlike its big sister, has audio output. So although the speaker inside the Dot is tiny, or small, not tiny, small, you can attach it to a stereo, whereas the big one, you can't actually get a stereo output from it. So your music, and one of the big uses of it is to replay music, your music will always be in mono if you've got an Echo. Mm. But there we are. Anyway, so there's those. Also, check out the app stores. If you've got a smartphone or a tablet, be it an Apple device or an Android device, there are some amazing deals out there now. I really need to put my credit card away because I think I've bought about 24 apps over the weekend.
Really? Like, what are they?
My obsession is synthesizer studio stuff. You know, so all the stuff that I used to buy on eBay, these classic old synths from the 80s, that nowadays some of them cost you thousands of pounds, and they're old and hard to maintain and rare. And then you can get the app version of it, which is very, very close to the original, in some cases more capable. You know, you can get it for, you know, it depends on the app, but anything from a pound to £20 type of money, and it's amazing. And a lot of these apps now are sort of 50% off, so I couldn't help it. So I recommend, if you're interested in that sort of thing, check out Korg, and who else? Arturia is another good company. ARTURIA. They do these synth type apps, which are fantastic. Also, there's a company that a piece of software I use. You know, whenever I send you an email, and I clip those little pictures into the email. Those are all clipped using a piece of software from TechSmith called Snagit. Snagit being one word. That's on offer at the moment as well, and that's up till I think the 29th. The Korg offer is up till the 5th of January, which is quite generous.
I'm fascinated by you and your synths. I worry about you sometimes.
Oh, it's fantastic. No, because before I used to have racks and racks of this stuff around me, and it really looked like some sort of mad scientist's laboratory. Now, this stuff fits on my smartphone, for goodness. I mean, it's really quite scary. I mean, there's a company called Wave Machine labs that produce something called Aureo, which is a mixer on your iPad, a sound mixer, you know, like you get in your radio studio. But it is, you know, more 32 channels plus on this thing. It's the
stuff of dreams for Goofemsy, isn't it? So excited.
I'm sorry, look, anyway, it doesn't have to be all about that. There's other normal software on Windows and Mac. Check out the Mac App Store. Apple's own deals in store and on its website ended on Friday, but there are third parties, and also the UK stores from Microsoft, HP and Dell all still have some excellent deals on them as well. Bear in mind, particularly if an item's over £100, worth considering putting it on a credit card, because then you have protection under the Consumer Credit Act. By the way, I looked into what you told me the other day about debit cards having some protection.
Oh, yeah.
They do. It's not based on legislation, but there are schemes that some debit cards now adhere to which give you similar rights. But I always
still
think,
safer to go with a credit card if you
can.
Yeah,
it is, because they in law become equally liable for the transaction. You're not relying upon their policy. Also, the other thing to bear in mind is cashback websites.
Oh, so, yeah. Now, this is something I've just got into quite recently. Yeah, I mean, it's just an easy way of making money.
Yeah, so it's the two big ones are called Quidco, Quidco, and Top Cashback, all one word, and you register with them, and you can register for free, and then what you do is, instead of going straight to the website where you're going to buy from, you log on to Quidco, and then you link from there to, let's say, the Microsoft store or wherever you're going, and they put a cookie on, they put a little recording on to say the Microsoft store knows that you've come from Quidco, and therefore you will get cash back. It's never guaranteed, but it usually works, and it can be, you know, anything from, you know, £1 to 10%, and if you're buying like a TV set or something, that could be a lot of money. The final thing to say is be aware that although a lot of software prices have already gone up because they're electronic items and priced in dollars, a lot of hardware, you know, physical gadgets like TV sets and so forth will in all probability go up early in the new year, not just because the sales will be over, but because the post-Brexit plummeting of the pound will start to take effect. So there's a certain amount of stock in the supply chain that's working its way
through.
So
if you're thinking of getting a new TV, now's the time to do it.
Yeah, or anything. I mean, you know, obviously it will vary from product to product, but the general thrust of it is that once the stock that's already in the UK is gone and they have to re-import stock, they'll have to pay higher prices because all these things are essentially priced in dollars. And the dollar was around 150 to the pound. It's now nearer about 120, 125. So that's a significant price hike. And that's one of the reasons, you know, when you're seeing all these healthy retail figures, there's a lot of people have worked out that now is not a bad time to buy before some of those price rises work through into the system.
There's you, Fevzy, talking about all the apps you've been spending your hard-earned cash on over the weekend. I bought a brilliant app yesterday. My gosh, right. So I'm not being paid to say this, but if you are a parent, you need this in your life. This is an app that allows you to speak directly to the big man himself in Lapland via video phone. So last year I had an app where you could speak to him, but you didn't get to see him. On this, it's like a Skype call. You can chat properly to him. I tell you what, it is brilliant. If your children are misbehaving, if you want them to get their shoes on quicker in the mornings, just threaten to call Father Christmas via this app. Amazing. Probably really cruel. I'm probably setting them up for years of therapy when they're older, but boy, it works like nothing else.
Probably. So this is just any time you want, you can connect.
You can connect by Skype with Father Christmas anytime you want. And he, you know, you can tell him if your children are behaving, if they're not behaving.
No,
they
that's
get
your
to
question.
Yes.
Without wishing to sort of upset anybody. You know, on each occasion when you connect, does Father Christmas look exactly the same?
He does. Yes, he does.
Okay, and of course. And of course, why would he not?
Why would he not?
Yes.
Is that, I don't really know what you're getting at there, Fevzy.
I'm not saying anything.
No, moving on. Now, tell us more about this snooper's charter that the government have introduced.
Yeah, heavy heart, I have to say, with this. So this is something officially called the Investigatory Powers Act, and it's the new version of it. So we've had versions of this before, but the new version, which has been passed into law as we speak and is likely to come into action before the end of this year, so in the next 4 weeks, internet service providers, for example, will soon have to make a record of all the services that you and I as their customers connect to. So that will include every website that we visit and the various messaging apps that we use as well. The internet service providers don't want to have to collect this information, one, because it hacks off their customers, if you'll pardon the expression, but also because they themselves are saying, and their trade body is saying, it's only a matter of time before we are hacked, and this database of all our connection data for the last year will be made available for any blackmailer out there who wants to divest of us of our privacy.
Yeah, that is a point. And what's the government's defence? I mean, why do they want to do this?
Terrorism.
Right.
Terrorism. You can say
security.
Terrorism. Yeah. Look, there is always a balance to be had between security and privacy, but you know, societies rely upon freedom of speech, and this has applied to our emails and other communication for some time. And I know I personally, I'm a normal citizen. I'm not up to, you know, I don't buy into this. If you've got nothing to hide, you've got nothing to fear. There is such a thing as privacy. We draw our curtains, we close our bathroom doors, you know. And if you don't think there's
if you don't think
there's such a thing as privacy, would you mind, Alison, just sending me all your medical records? Because I'd quite like to have a look through them.
Yeah, you know? But you're right. There is always that argument. Well, if you've got nothing to hide, then what's the problem? Is there any technology we can use to protect our privacy?
I'm glad you. What an excellent question, Alison. I'm glad you asked me that. The problem with all of this is it's not all baked in, and it needs to be. All these sort of privacy things should be baked into, you know, all our communication tools and so forth. At the moment, we have to take certain steps. So the first thing that we need to look at, and I'll look at this with you in more detail in the future, but there's something called a VPN. It's a piece of software called a virtual private network. That's the generic name. There are many brands of this. And what that effectively does is it sets up a tunnel that no one can easily penetrate between you and the service that you want to access, be it a website or so forth. So the information shoots down the tunnel and back down the tunnel. And two things about that. One is it's not easy for people outside the tunnel to look into what that data is, so what's going on. And also it makes it, or can make it, appear like you're somewhere else. So you could appear to be in Finland or New York or you know, Bahrain or wherever. So the internet service providers, if you use that to access websites, will be able to see that one of their subscribers accessed, you know, the BBC News website, but they won't know which one. It's also very good if you're, for example, accessing the internet in a coffee shop with a public Wi-Fi or so forth. It makes your system safer in that respect as well. And the extra bonus is that if you can appear to be in other countries, you can access services that are normally reserved for people in those countries.
But if you are up to no good, this is going to make it easier for you.
Yes, and people can kill each other with hammers as well, but I don't think that's an argument for stopping the sale of hammers. You know, there's a legitimate use for VPNs. Business people have used them for decades for their privacy, to stop themselves being spied on by you know, commercial competitors.
But it kind of make the whole thing a farce? Because actually, if the government are introducing this because they want to tackle terrorism, and yet terrorists will be able to avoid that
terrorists
by using this.
Terrorists already know how to do this.
It's a
move that's largely going to impinge upon the privacy of non-terrorist normal citizens.
Yeah.
And the terrorists, they know well how to do this. Some of them develop their own apps, for goodness sake. Others use, you know, well-known, you know, a little bit of technical nous, and a terrorist will know how to do this. And we're not teaching them. When I say to you a VPN, believe me, I'm not teaching a terrorist anything they didn't already know, otherwise I wouldn't say it. In addition to that, there is something that you might want to look into called a Tor browser, T-O-R, which basically routes your packets of information all around the world many, many times and scrambles it and makes it very hard for anyone to work out who you are. And if you want something really simple, this doesn't go anywhere near, you know, all the way in terms of what the VPNs and Tor browsers do, but there's a search engine called DuckDuckGo. Yeah? As in quack, quack, go. DuckDuckGo. And it does a similar job to Google and, you know, Bing and other search engines, but they make their main selling point is that they don't record your information themselves.
Oh.
So as you know when you type your search terms into Google, not only do Google get a copy of your search terms, and you know, your search terms, what you look up on the internet tells Google a lot about you.
Mm.
You know, and they use that not only to sell advertising, but when you then click on a link, the link that you clicked on gets the search that you searched sent to them as well. So it's not even just Google that gets this. So check out DuckDuckGo.
Gosh, Big Brother is watching.
Yeah.
The thing is, there will be people listening, though, to what you're saying, thinking, oh, aren't we just all a little bit paranoid?
I used, look, you know, that was me saying that 10, 15 years ago.
Mm.
And at that point, probably one didn't need to worry too much, because at that point, our main protection was that there were more of us than there were of them, and they didn't have the resources to look up all those records. But now with intelligent software, it's not just like they can look for certain keywords or combination of keywords. You have computer programs that can understand the speech in your phone call, the text in your email and text messages, and can build up a picture of you. And the whole point with this legislation is that it is mass surveillance. It doesn't require the traditional way. A lot of these technologies have existed, but the traditional way was that the authorities had to get a warrant. And now this is warrantless mass collection of data, which I think there's more than 48 different bodies that can access this data. It's not just the police and the military and the government. It's the NHS, it's the Food Standards Agency, it's the Gambling Commission, Financial Conduct Authority. Goodness knows whether local authorities will get hold of it, because we know that they've abused a lot of the rights to data under terrorist legislation as well. So this is really worrying. I mean, people talk about 1984. 1984 is a picnic compared to what's going on now. George Orwell had the right idea, but he didn't go far enough with it.
Gosh, I'm just sat here now, as probably are a lot of people, thinking about all the things I've searched for on Google and what that information would tell someone about me.
And that's the thing about a free society, is that if you can't communicate without the thought in your mind that someone may be looking at that communication, then you are not as free as you were before that concern.
Fascinating. Listen, before you go, we've been talking today about spelling and how 16-year-olds today can't spell like 16-year-olds could 30 years ago. And the overwhelming consensus has been it's all because of technology. And as our gadget detective, I feel it's only right that I give you the right to reply. what is there any truth in that?
No, I don't think so, because it's amazing how many people using word processors don't apply the spell checker to it. You know, you get word process documents or electronic documents sent to you that clearly haven't been spell checked.
Mm.
So in what sense is technology to blame for that? I can understand numeracy in the calculator, perhaps. I can understand that we hold less information in our heads because we now have search engines, yes. But actually, with regard to this, I'm not buying it.
Mm, you mentioned the calculator. Oh, my gosh. I went to a well-known shop yesterday that sells motoring paraphernalia. I was buying a car seat. Anyway, there was a deal on where you got 20% off. Oh, my gosh. The two lads behind the till could not work out.
20%.
They couldn't work out 20%. I was like, oh, is there a problem? Is the voucher not working? They're like, oh, no, the voucher's working, but it's not telling us what 20% off is, so we can't do it. I was like, are you actually? It's £4.80. £4.80. They're like, are you sure? I'm definitely sure it's £4.80. Yeah. But because the computer couldn't do it, they couldn't do it.
And yeah, that's not the computer's fault. That's their education at fault, isn't it? Surely.
I know, but if we become over reliant on technology, I should have done. Yeah, actually, it makes it free. Now, give me that car seat and go. Fevzi, as always, thank you so much. If people want to find out more, they can tweet you, can't they?
They can. As we've already established, I have no friends. So if you'd like,
well, you've got Alexa now. To be fair,
I do, and she's lovely. But I want to make her jealous. So if you're inclined to be my friend, then come and follow me at Gadget Detective on Twitter at Gadget Detective, or you can go to the website, which is www.gadgetdetective.com.